Welcome back or welcome to the Life Well Podcast. I'm your host, Catherine Young. And here at the Life Well Podcast, we love to chit chat about the intersection of our faith and our mental health. And it is right at that crossroad, much like the woman at the well, where we find our ultimate resource and our ultimate guide for all things relating to our mind and our body and our spirit. And that resource is Jesus. Now, I am a professional therapist, right? So we're talking about the science and the Bible and how this whole Christian walk and mental wellness and how all of these things mix together. So if that is something that interests you, then you have found the right place. If you've been at the Life Well Podcast rocking with us for the past 7 episodes, then you already know we've got homework that we've got to go through. I've been talking about some updates, some very exciting things going on at the Life Well Podcast. We'll be updating you guys on that stuff as well. So you already know, get your journal if you need it. I've got my very new thing. Blue has kind of been my color, so we're just going to go with it until I fill this journal up. Grab yours, grab your notes app, get comfortable, and let's get into all the things. So I've got to give you guys an update. We are still on the road to 100. We're not quite, well, technically we are on the road to 100K, but we got to get the first 100 first. As of right now, while I'm recording, we're at 90 subscribers on YouTube. 10 more right here on this platform. And you already know I'm getting my balloons and my cupcakes and I'm taking pictures and we're doing the things. So thank you so much to my new subscribers. Welcome to the Life Well Podcast. For those of you who have been here, continue to like, comment, share, and subscribe. But we're not just growing here online. We've been doing some growth outside of the digital platforms. The Life Well Podcast had an opportunity to go and do some advocacy for all things mental health at a concert here in my hometown. I gave a very brief, but you know, impactful appeal for therapy and mental wellness at this concert. And I kind of bit off myself, and the acronym that we used was LIFE. So we,
your feelings and your behaviors. Over the course of your life, what kinds of things, take an inventory. Has it been music? Has it been relationships? Has it been your fears? Has it been your trauma? What kind of things have you given power over to, or maybe subconsciously has taken power over you to impact your thoughts, your feelings, and your behaviors? Now we've done L, we've done I, what comes next? F, very good. F is going to be for feelings.
So we talked about the L standing for legacy and what your legacy of faith currently is and what you want it to be. I being inventory, those things that have a history of showing up in your life. What are your typical traits? What are your typical habits? F, of course, stands for feelings, my favorite thing. I've been studying them my entire life. And then the last one was E, expression. And there's lots of different ways that expression can be interpreted. And once I got off the stage and I sat back down and the concert went on, that E really stuck with me. And I started to think about the different ways that we express ourselves. We express ourselves to our therapists and our counselors, our friends and family members. We express ourselves to different conversations that we end up in. We express ourselves through creativity, which is mainly what that concert was about. And then I started thinking about my own expressions and the ways that I get my feelings out, my good ones and my bad ones. And of course, that's going to lead us into our topic today. But before we get into all of those things, you know, we have to update on our homework. We had a 7-day challenge. We were going to move our body for 30 minutes. We were going to find our scriptures that point us in the direction of hope. Did you do it? If you haven't done it, are you going to do it? I love all of those things. It gave us an opportunity to express ourselves in a positive way. And expression is something that I have really not had in my life, right? Because my main form of expression all throughout my life was dance. I've danced since I was a little girl. I danced in church. I danced in school. I danced in studios. I danced in undergrad. And then I stopped dancing. I joke around all the time and I say that I'm retired, but if I'm really honest with myself and those who are around me, I really, really miss dancing. That was the way that I was able to get every single good feeling, bad feeling, even feelings that maybe other people have that they don't know how to express in words, because that is what expression through creativity has the power to do. Sometimes there's a little bit of a language barrier, right, in our emotional space, and we don't have the vocabulary to describe how we are feeling, but creative expression has the ability to do that. And I haven't danced in so long. I went to 2 dance recitals this past weekend, and I had the absolute time of my life. Sometimes I was laughing, sometimes I was crying. It really just depended on the expression that was coming forward in the movement of those dancers, which then does bring us to my topic for today. Today, we're talking about how you express joy and what the difference between joy and happiness is. I recall that the first time I felt like I wouldn't be able to access joy, of course, was after disappointment. But it wasn't the disappointment that we talked about in the cycle of hope. It was when it came to my professional career. But we have some updates. So, drum roll, please. Insert sound effect here. I have officially submitted my application for a PhD program in psychology. Cue the confetti. I don't even know if I know how to edit in confetti, but cue the confetti. I am putting myself back out there. I took a leap of faith, right? And who knows it? Maybe I'll take a leap on an actual dance floor again. All I know is that I have made a decision to choose joy. So whether I get into this program or not, I'm choosing joy in between the things that are happening. Whether I actually ever dance again, right? Because I'm retired a little bit because of an injury, right? So maybe I can't dance again and that's okay with me. I'm going to choose joy in the middle. I'm going to choose joy in the good. I'm going to choose joy in the bad. I'm going to choose joy in the morning and choose joy when I am glad. I want to ask you a question. When's the last time you chose joy? Y'all know I love a good definition, but joy is such a hard word to define, and most of the definitions that I looked up or have heard over the past couple of years just don't do it for me. So when I started thinking about this episode, as I was reflecting on choosing joy, the outro of the song from Kirk Franklin's hit record, I Smile, really rung in my ears. And in the end of the song, he says, I don't want you to just be happy, because that means you got to have something happening. I want you to have joy, because can't nobody take that away from you. Cue the outro music, all of the things, right? That is the best place, in my opinion, to start when we really want to define the word joy. Contrary to popular belief, joy is not the opposite of depression or sadness. But joy is also not the same thing as happiness. It's a deep emotional experience. It's a state of being, right? Joy includes traces of the experience of peace and of safety and of support, particularly from something outside of you and your efforts. It's really easy to be happy when you're being an active participant or something is happening, but joy is way less circumstantial than happiness. It endures beyond what's going on, and it simply is. And I did find one definition that I like, and it says this: joy is a feeling of extreme gladness or delight. It is the lifting of your spirit from a sense of well-being or satisfaction. I like that one. That definition comes from the American Psychological Association's Dictionary of Psychology. And when we look at how joy is expressed, we have to consider the science, right? So our bodies produce feel-good hormones. There are four major hormones, and they get this title because they do things to our body that make us feel pretty good, right? So the first one is dopamine. Dopamine is our pleasure and reward system. It's that hormone that makes you feel accomplishment when you make up your bed in the morning, or that victory when you finish an assignment or you finish a race. And then we have serotonin. That is our mood stabilization hormone. And next we have oxytocin. Oxytocin is the love hormone. It's what makes that hug feel really nice, or that call that you get from your loved one feel like a really cool experience. And then lastly, we have endorphins. Our endorphins are responsible for monitoring and managing pain or stress. I'll spare you the biochemistry lesson by saying we are hardwired to be well. Everyone has built in them a system to regulate wellness and feeling good emotions. But there are lots of explanations as to why we don't always feel well. Dips in hormone production, changes or transitions in your life, poor eating habits. Let's talk about it. Poor sleeping habits. Let's get into those things. All of that kind of stuff is going to impact that hormone production and our ability to feel well, even though we are hardwired to be well. Sometimes the overproduction of another hormone or dehydration can even disrupt that feel-good recipe that God designed our bodies with. As we mentioned in our last episode, The Cycle of Hope, most things in this life are transient, right? They are subject to change. They're inconsistent, and they have to abide by free will and human choice and time. And Jesus is just not that, right? He's not one of those things that changes, and yet neither do his promises. And that's the perfect place to start when we want to be an active participant in choosing joy in our life, even when things don't necessarily go as planned. Now, raise your hands. I can't see you raising your hands, but you can see me. Raise your hands. Any Prince of Egypt fans in the room or on the Zoom or on the YouTube, okay? If you've never seen this movie, The Prince of Egypt, you need to go and watch it. Old to the faith, new to the faith, children, elderly, it doesn't matter. You need to see The Prince of Egypt. Yes, it's a cartoon, but it's a beautiful depiction of where we find our biblical reference for today's episode. Enjoy seeking. Now, I have slowly, okay, very slowly been reading the book of Deuteronomy, okay? And I've been learning a lot more about Moses. So here's a little backstory if you're not familiar. Moses, as a baby, was released into a river in a basket. He floated through that river and ended up at Pharaoh's house. Now, you need to watch The Prince of Egypt if you really want to get the contextual information, because we're not going to talk about all of the intricacies of Moses' upbringing in today's episode. But he was in that basket and he ended up at Pharaoh's palace. His initial fate, based on the times and the circumstances, was death, okay? But not only did Moses grow up, but he learned a lot and he became a great man and had great values. And then he murdered an Egyptian, right? So we should watch the movie. This is another plug for The Prince of Egypt. Okay, he was trying to protect his own people. And after fleeing, literally doing a dash, he went to Midian. He became a shepherd, beard, staff, the whole nine yards. Fast forward, God calls him out through the burning bush to go and save the slaves from Egypt. Hello, Pharaoh, let my people go, that whole song. That's what we're talking about, right? Moses becomes this great leader. He's responsible for the Ten Commandments. He leads the generations through the wilderness. He's very much that guy until he doesn't listen. There's a whole issue with a rock. I'm telling you, you got to go read about it or watch The Prince of Egypt. And in a fit of anger and a wee bit of disobedience, Moses loses his access to leading the people into the promised land, okay? His lack of trust in God, for whatever reason, blocked him at that point in time. And the very real reality of Moses' situation robbed him of the happening, right? He did not end up leading them into the promised land, and therefore, that happiness should have been cut off. But as I was reading, I realized that in his very last chapters, before he is about to die, entire chapter, verses 1 through 43, he ends his role with the Israelites here on earth, encouraging them to rejoice, not to mourn or be sad, not to feel sorry for him or not go into the promised land because he can't lead them into the promised land. He encourages them to rejoice, to be an active participant in the process of choosing joy. And he shouldn't have had the life he had in the first place. I imagine that there was a level of gratefulness that Moses had that typically we do not access, especially if we are ending up disappointed, as I imagine he may have been. But he chose joy, and he chose to then spread joy to the people he was leading despite what was going on around him. And that is what joy is really all about. And it's accessible. You can go and get it because, like we just said, it's hardwired in us. We have those resources, a part of our original design, but there are some things that we can do to actively participate in making that happen. And Moses probably didn't know that later on in the writings of the Bible, in the Gospels, he would get to see the promised land. He stands with Jesus and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he does see the promised land. I don't know if, I'm no Bible scholar, I have no idea if he knew that that is what was going to happen as he didn't get his opportunity to lead them into the promised land. But what I do know is, based on what was happening around him, he should not have been telling people to rejoice. And maybe based on what's going on around you, you shouldn't be telling people to rejoice either. I can definitely think of some situations based on what was going on around me. I shouldn't have had joy, but I can also think of some situations where I should have had joy and didn't. There are some decision-making processes that go along with joy, and we're going to talk about those today. But one thing we know for sure, and we've talked about this before, the resurrection of Jesus Christ reminds us that death is simply not the end. It wasn't the end for Moses. It wasn't the end for Jesus. The death of our ideas, the death of a dream, or even the death of the loved one isn't the end of our joy either. Joy is accessible and you can choose it. And we're going to talk about how you choose it, even in disappointment or even in delay or even in a detour. Joy is accessible. We just got to go and find it. Now let's dig just a little bit deeper. Now I'm no Moses, okay? I didn't lead an entire generation out of captivity and make the triumphant decision to choose joy in the face of death. That is not my story. I did, however, feel like I took a detour at one point in my life, right? Probably due to my own disobedience, which blocked my ability to embrace joy. Like I mentioned in the beginning, I have officially submitted my application for the PhD program, right? Very exciting things. But if I'm honest, PhD in psychology was always a goal. Like way back 2015, graduated from high school, always been the goal. I've been applying to graduate school ever since I graduated from undergrad, and I just hadn't gotten in. And I'm going to be honest with you guys, I kind of gave up on the whole PhD thing once I got my master's, because I didn't have joy when I got my master's, because it's not what I wanted to happen. Right? My idea, my original plan was to finish my undergraduate career, I planned on having my PhD by now. Like we talked about in the last episode, it wasn't supposed to be like this. And I allowed that disappointment to rob me of the opportunity of celebrating receiving my master's degree, right? Getting a master's degree is a huge accomplishment. And I shortchanged it because it wasn't what I wanted at the time. Now, I didn't take no graduation pictures. I barely threw a party. I had a send-off brunch before, threw that together. I didn't plan any kind of activity to celebrate afterwards. I ended up just going to a restaurant. Like I did not do my big one for it because I did not feel like it was a big one. I robbed myself of that joy because what I wanted to happen didn't happen. So I thought that happiness was inaccessible. Obviously, I was wrong, right? I know that now. There was so much goodness and gladness and delight and satisfaction about that situation. But you see, I thought that joy had to be attached to a title or an accomplishment or a salary or a status. But you can have or lose, like Moses did, all of those things and still have joy. The Bible says to count it all joy. And I've always struggled with that scripture as a Christian, because I can think of some things that aren't joyful. I can think of some things that hurt real bad, and I don't want to count it all joy. But the scripture goes on to say, especially trials, especially hard things, you count it all joy. Those things that test your faith, because the testing of your faith produces patience. And I was always taught, now, if you pray for patience, you're going to get situations that cause you to be patient. And if you pray for joy, I imagine the same thing is going to come in my sessions and in my personal life. It's in those moments between something happening that we're able to practice choosing joy. How do you do that? I'm glad you asked. Remember those neurotransmitters, those hormones that we talked about a little bit earlier? Your body makes them. We just learned that. Your body can make them again, even if you feel like they haven't made them in a long time. Here's how. You can boost your serotonin by getting direct sunlight. The sun is up 12 hours out of the day, maybe even more. You can go outside, you get the direct sunlight, it's automatically going to boost that serotonin, okay? Exercise is another great way of boosting your neurotransmitters. It's actually a hack because it does three of them, dopamine, endorphins, and serotonin. Eating food that you enjoy, healthy foods. Now, if you enjoy a salad, two for two, right? If you would enjoy a four for four, we may have a little bit of a problem, but maybe you're enjoying a really good meal with people that you love, that oxytocin is building, you get a really good hug with your friend who you haven't seen in a long time, and those hormones are going to begin to produce, right? Catching up with an old friend, hearing your favorite song even, is going to put you in situations where you are going to have a production, an increase in production of those feel-good hormones. And all of those things I just named, you can pick on a daily, right? All of those things that I just named are accessible. They're not expensive. It is a part of the process to wellness. Now, is this 100% if I do these things, Catherine, my depression is going to go away or my anxiety is going to go away? No. And this podcast isn't a replacement for medical advice or the counsel from your personal professional therapist. But these are some really good tips for you to get an alignment with the whole body, right, that God made in order for you to have the whole wellness experience that he has for you. One of the other really, really good ways to increase the production of some of those feel-good hormones is intentional prayer time, right? So we love the prayer that we do in the morning. Lord, thank you for waking me up this morning and getting me started on my way. Beautiful. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Beautiful. Thank you for the food we're about to receive, for the nourishment of our body. Beautiful. But that intentional prayer time, that's what I'm talking about, where you even schedule the time, you set aside time, you create an environment for prayer. That calm that you feel when you pray is biologically happening in your body. You're producing hormones that are making you feel good because you're connecting with the whole you and your whole creator, right? So intentional prayer time, exercise, healthy food, drinking water, all of those things wrapped up in with your wellness plan and treatment plan from your healthcare providers is a great way to access joy in the middle, in between, and all day long, okay? Now, Moses didn't miss out on any joy, even though he did miss out on seeing the promised land. He chose joy even after disappointment. And I imagine not knowing the promise still would have been fulfilled later on in the Gospels. And I didn't plan on going to school again. I'm gonna be honest with you. Once I finished my master's, I had different priorities. I was like, okay, this is just what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna work what I can work with this master's degree, and we just gonna make it shake. But I still had that original desire and yearning. And I did miss out on the opportunity to experience joy when I graduated from my master's program and in between now and then of me applying to this PhD. And if it is in the Lord's will that I am accepted, I'm sure that day will come with so much joy. But I don't want to miss out on the joy that comes in between. So I'm going to choose that joy. How am I going to choose that joy? I'm going to hang out with the people that I love. I'm going to advocate for mental health in the way that I do because I'm already passionate about it. PhD or not, I'm going to create and celebrate all year long. You guys already know that. We know that we are designed to be joyful. We know that we have the chemical things that we need to feel that deep satisfaction and joy. And whether you are facing depression or financial hardship or heartbreak or anything else that's disrupting your joy, whatever is currently happening, there's something happening in the middle still. And you can choose joy right there. And I can guarantee you that over the course of time, you'll find it. It wouldn't be the Life Well podcast if we didn't have a little bit of homework, right? So that's what we're going to get into. Do you have your journal out? Do you have your notes app out? If you're using your phone, maybe you want to screenshot the questions as they come up on the screen. I want to do a little bit of journaling this week, right? Usually we just have like that one little question in the beginning. Maybe I'll write it down. Maybe you ask it to yourself. Maybe you don't. But this week, I really want you to do like some paragraphs, like the paragraphs that you be sending in the text message. I want you to do some paragraphs to some of these questions. Are you ready? You got your journal? You ready to write down your questions? Okay, let's get into it. What ordinary things bring you the most joy? Now, of course, I ask myself these questions first. The ordinary things, I would say my top three are singing in the car. I absolutely love it. I do it with my best friends. I did it with my parents. My mama don't really like loud music, but I turn up the music with her anyway. Now, she listens to gospel, right? So we're listening to Live in London, Donnie McClurkin, but on full blast, right? On full volume. That is a very ordinary, accessible thing that makes me feel the most joy. I would say my next is any kind of skincare or makeup service. I love getting my makeup done. It comes with an expense, but I'm willing to pay it. Something about when you put the setting powder on top of the concealer and it just kind of snatches the face. I don't know. It just brings me so much joy. And then of the top three, I would say my third is probably a nice heavy blanket and a warm meal. Right? So you sit down in that perfect spot in your couch, not this couch, but my living room couch, sitting right there with a nice heavy blanket and a good meal. Those are ordinary, accessible things that bring me joy. The joy definition that we talked about earlier in the episode. So I want you to write down question number one, what ordinary things bring you the most joy? Okay. Question number two, what's the last thing you celebrated and why? We're talking about a previous happening. Okay. What was the last thing that you celebrated? For me, it was the launch of this podcast. I had my podcast launch party. It was super cute, super fun. All the things, my friends were here. We did a toast. It was lovely. And I celebrated that, one, because my commitment for the year is to create and celebrate. And two, it was something that I was really proud of and I had been looking forward to. So I decided to center some of my friends and family around that event and mark that occasion, right? So that was something that happened. That's a happening. where I was happy and I experienced joy in that moment too, okay? The next question I want you to ask yourself, so we have two: what ordinary things bring you the most joy? What's the last thing you celebrated and why? Our third question is gonna be, what are you waiting for to happen in order to experience joy again? I'd say for me, am I gonna be a psychologist? Am I gonna get into this PhD program? That's something that I'm waiting for. What's essential here, bonus question, how are you gonna choose joy in between, okay? A hint to that question is the answer to your first one, right? So yes, I celebrated and something was happening when I did my podcast launch party. And yes, I'm sure I would experience so much joy if I'm admitted into this program, but what am I gonna do in between time so that I still have access to a life that is full of gladness and satisfaction and the lifting of my spirits? Well, I'm gonna do those ordinary things. Now, y'all know I like to go for a run. That makes me feel good. It doesn't make my friends feel good. I'm gonna do all of my top three. I sing in the car every single day, okay? So if you ever see me, and you'll hear me before you see me, because I'm turning the music all the way up. It's an ordinary pleasure that I like to access and enjoy. I want you to reflect on those three things. And then for bonus points to yourself, right? Because there's no grade here at the Life Well Podcast. I want you to ask yourself, how am I gonna access joy in between the last thing I celebrated and the thing I'm waiting on, right? Because we learned that you don't have to wait until you see the thing to experience joy. And I don't want you to wait on anything. I don't want you to experience delay or detour or disappointment or shoulda, coulda, woulda. I probably would have had the best graduation photo shoot if I did it for my master's, but I don't have those photos. I probably would have had a beautiful party if I would have threw one, but I didn't because I was stuck in what I thought things would be. And now I don't have those memories to reflect on. Regret is emotional debt that you cannot pay back. And I don't want anyone here at the Life Well Podcast to experience. So we are going to go and choose joy. We're going to access those feel-good hormones, simple pleasures, daily rejoicing in the Lord. And again, I say, as the song says, rejoice, okay? As always, it is my hope that this episode found you well and found you with some joy. But if not, I hope you become well. I hope you choose joy today and every day, in between the happenings, during the happening, after the happening. I hope you choose joy, and prayerfully, we all stay well. I'm Catherine, and this is the Life Well Podcast.